Welcome to Pillar and Ground Podcast. I'm Will Nettleton, pastor of mission and worship here at LMPC. And this episode is a Pillar and Ground Questions episode where we seek to provide biblical perspective for today's pressing questions. And we are continuing a series that we've been doing for the last couple of weeks and began last year in 2023 on the whys of worship, particularly focusing on why we do certain things we do here at LMPC, particularly in our Sunday worship services, but in the rest of our life together as well. In the last couple of weeks, we have just been working through that Sunday service. And so I'm joined again by Hannah Lutz, our worship and music staff writer. Hannah, welcome.
Hey.
And we are moving on to the next movement of our Sunday services. So we last week looked at the praise and affirmation section of our worship services, how our worship services begin here at LMPC. And this week, we're moving on to the next section, which is the confession and assurance section. So, Hannah, maybe even just talk a little bit about the just the headings of the service.
Yeah.
So we talked about praise and affirmation. Why next confession and assurance?
Yeah, so I think one of the main reasons is when you start with praise, you're sort of starting with who God is and the grandeur of that and Him as creator and all that He's done for us. And it kind of throws into, shows you the contrast between who we are and who He is. And I think an appropriate response to who He is to look at ourselves and see we are not that, obviously. And so sort of narratively, it makes sense. But historically also, that's how so many liturgies have been formed, and it's kind of a natural progression. So with confession, we have in that section, we have call to confession, and then we'll often do a hymn, and then silent prayers. And that is, that's what comes next.
Yeah, I think of the, like Calvin starts his Institutes famously with that, those couple of lines about knowledge of self and knowledge of God and the way those two things are intertwined.
Right.
It's almost impossible to grow in your knowledge of God without that immediately changing the way you understand yourself as well.
Right.
And so when we come into a worship service where we're praising a holy God, the living God, the faithful one, the just one, as we come in and praise Him, it's impossible for us to miss like all the ways that we do not
right.
do that and live up to that, the ways
right.
that we are not perfectly that. And I know that can hit some people. It hits some people as rather morbid that every
right.
week we have this confession of sin. We're like, good grief, we just show up and it starts all nice. You're greeting everybody and then we're praising the Lord. And then all of a sudden we're just like hitting, we're just beating ourselves up. Why do we do that? You spoke to that a little bit, but just to the person who struggles with this section of our service, what wisdom, what insight would you give them into kind of being present in this part of the service every week?
Yeah, I think, I can feel like sort of doing penance, like I did a bad thing, now I need to pay for it. And I think part of what alleviates that is that it is done within the context of a corporate setting. Like you are surrounded by other people who have also sinned and who also deeply need this. And that you're not alone in that moment. Like we're not calling you out or it's not some sort of specific punishment, but we all have this need and are all here acknowledging it together. And I think that helps a lot to,
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it makes a huge difference to just realize that we're not coming into a body of people where everyone else kind of has it together and you're the one mess. Like our common identity here is as sinners who are saved by grace, who are being now conformed into the image of Jesus. And so coming to confess our sins is, first of all, I think it just embraces reality.
Totally.
Like, I mean, I think the hardest, one of the things I used to struggle with so much as a young Christian growing up was like, oh, I'd had this really powerful, like, come to Jesus experience. I've given my life to the Lord. I've asked Jesus into my heart, all the ways that we kind of talk about those things. And yet then I would find I was still struggling with sin. Like I was still angry. I was still all these different things. And so I would come back to church and be like, well, maybe it just didn't work. Like,
maybe
I'm not really a Christian.
Yeah.
And like the confession of sin every week reminds us, not that sin is okay, but that it is a part of our reality until glory, that we are in that already not yet of Jesus has paid for all our sins. The power of sin has been broken in our lives, but the presence of sin remains. We're not a theological tradition that believes in perfectionism, that you can in this life be perfect. We actually believe till the very end we'll be struggling with our sin. The Apostle Paul is really interesting to note the way he finishes, as you trace his writings in the New Testament. One of his last letters, he's writing that I'm the chief of sinners.
Right.
The one who, and you think back like, well, Paul, you're not killing, you know, Christians anymore. You know, it feels like you've grown a little bit. Like, done some stuff. And he knows more of his sin now than he did even when he first started following Jesus. And so this is just a part of our lives together. Yeah. It's a reality to say, I have, as I grow more in my understanding of who God is, I grow more in my understanding of who I am.
Right.
And part of that is that I'm a sinner and how I've sinned against God and against my neighbor in thought and in word and deed this week.
Right. And I think, doing that as a weekly rhythm just normalizes that. It just makes it part of life in Christ, is that we have this need to do this on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And it takes out some of the, I don't know, pressure's not the right word, but kind of making our sin, like, oh no, I've sinned, like this horrible, it's bigger than what Jesus can forgive or that he can handle, and makes it like, no, this is a thing that we all have to do daily, hourly, but especially in this weekly rhythm. Right. But then for the opposite end of the spectrum, it's also a reminder that we do need to confess, even though we may not always feel like we have things to confess.
Yeah.
There are always things there.
There are always things,
just doing that pattern and the repetition is so powerful over time.
J.I. Packer has this great quote about that repentance is turning from as much as you know of your sin and offering as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God.
Yeah.
That there is that weekly, and like as you are following Jesus, all of those things are growing. Yeah. This growing knowledge of sin, this growing knowledge of yourself, but also this beautiful, like, growing knowledge of God and of his grace. I mean, that's, I think, the big thing about this section is it's not just confession of sin, it's assurance of pardon.
Totally.
So will you talk about that a little bit, of just like that we move from confession to assurance?
Yeah. And even before I go there, the call too mirrors the call to worship in that God is the one inviting us to this.
Yeah.
So I think the hope there, like, assurance comes after confession, but we also can't come to confession unless we know that we are invited to do so, because there's hope of forgiveness.
Yeah, even the call itself is good news.
Right. And so the hope is that there's excitement to come to confession. Mm. It's like, I have things that we need to talk about and need to be set right. But I know that grace is there. And so this is actually like a relief of the burden to cast it down. But assurance, we do just a printed assurance of God's pardon and grace. And the reason it's called that and not just assurance is because I think it can be easy to sort of generalize, and it could be assurance almost as like comfort or sort of a general sense of assurance, but this is specifically assurance of God's pardon and grace, that he has promised us that there is full and free forgiveness. Because of Jesus, and that is the hope that we cling to. And to just have that stated so plainly every week is so important.
Yeah.
Especially coming out of confession, where, you know, that's the only reason you can confess, is because that's true. So we have a printed assurance, and often, almost always, the assurance is from Scripture, again, because of the authority of Scripture. We don't just have like a happy feeling that we're forgiven or some abstract hope, like it has been promised through Jesus' word or through God's word.
When you talked a little bit last time about the significance of the worship leader on Sunday morning, that we have someone who's in some elements in prayer is mediating between us and God's praying on our behalf, offering our prayers to God. But there are other elements of the servants like this one where it's actually mediating the other way. It is a bringing of God's word to the people. So the assurance of God's pardoning grace in many ways is it's the leader speaking on behalf of God because he's reading God's words. These are not his words. These are God's words to his people.
Yeah.
And reminding them of who they are in him and what he's done with their sins. So I think it's a significant thing to remember that assurance is not just like a hey, we're all like a, you know, clean bill of health from your doctor. Like the God of heaven and earth is speaking and saying you were clean.
Yeah.
Which is significant.
Yeah, totally. And then we typically sing a hymn of assurance. And sort of similar to the praise section at the beginning, just taking time to kind of revel in it and hear it from a different angle and speak it. And, you know, like we were saying, I think in another episode, that singing and speaking and hearing are all, they're sort of all tickling different parts of your brain and your body and reminding you of those truths in different ways.
Yeah. And I think too, we have a, like obviously a call to confession of sin. And then often we have corporate confession of sins that we'll do, that we'll either read or we'll sing a song as a hymn of confession. But then we have a time for us to individually confess. Talk a little bit about the significance of just both of those elements, both corporate confession and individual confession.
Yeah. So we like to just have a little bit of variety, I think, kind of rotate things through for lots of reasons. One is, again, just trying to embed these truths sort of every way that's at our disposal. So for a corporate confession, part of what's going on there is you're reminded that you're not the only one who's sinned and in need of this good news. And so you're enacting that together and kind of remembering what God says about the fact that there is forgiveness with him. And again, like saying it out loud too, I think brings it home in a different way. Like you may not be feeling like there's particular need to confess, but maybe you'll read in a prayer, like a line or something that really hits home. It's like, oh yeah, I did that. Or I don't know. I think it just, it helps. Yeah. It just helps remind us and kind of draw us out in different ways. And then with silent prayers, there's just an opportunity to be brutally honest. I mean, in ways that you would not be out loud in front of your brothers and sisters necessarily.
Right.
And you're able to really delve deep and think through all that needs to be confessed and also just speak to God, which again, is not something that we always make sort of public space for.
Right.
And I think in a lot of traditions, silence is not something that happens in corporate worship and is not something that's familiar. And I love that we have a time of just utter silence. I know it's uncomfortable for a lot of people, but I think it's so good for us because it just takes away so many other things and you can just focus on that prayer between you and God.
Yeah. And I will say, as a person who often leads those, they're not very long.
Right.
As long as they feel, they're actually, it may say something about us culturally that it feels so long because in reality, they're 20 seconds.
Yeah.
It's not a very long time to spend in silence. And we live in a noisy culture.
Right.
So it is significant for us to create space in the service to say, we're going to stop, create space for you and God, for you to go to him individually right now. I love that we do corporate confession because I do think it's important for us to remember the covenantal nature of what it is to be in the body of Christ, that we are a people. And so we have corporate sins as well. We have,
right. Absolutely.
You may show up to worship and think, well, I didn't do that much this week, but you actually are a part of a body who, because of the nature of being a body, like we have ways that we need to confess sin as well. And we see that throughout the scriptures, God calling Israel to, as a nation, repent of sins that you have to know individually. Some of them didn't commit, but they are his people. They're a gathered body. And so they are together in that as well. And so that dynamic, we think in American individualized terms of like, well, I'm here to take ownership for like what I have done.
Right.
And that's kind of whatever you guys have done is between y'all and Jesus.
Right. Totally.
And same for me. And there's an element of that that's true. Like we are individually responsible for our sin. That time of silent confession is for that. But that corporate confession reminds us of like, hey, we have a corporate witness here as a body as well that we are accountable for.
Yeah.
And there are failures in that. There are things that we need to own. So that part of the service is significant as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else just in that section of the service, confession, assurance, that you want to pull out and highlight?
Yeah. I feel like we kind of covered it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's the assurance of God's pardoning grace is a To me, it's as a someone who leads the service a lot, it's one of my favorite moments in the service because it is a profound reminder of just that the grace of God is this. There's an ocean of God's grace that's just coming over us wave after wave, week after week, even as we continue to sin, like the, as we often sing, his mercy is more, that he will come as we cannot, we're not going to out-sin him. We're not going to out-sin his grace as his people. That doesn't mean that's a challenge. Yeah. It just means that his grace is sufficient for all of our needs, which is really good news.
It's interesting too, because even just the corporate nature of it, I mean, being in a room with people as that's happening, you can feel almost like a collective sigh of relief.
Right.
Often, like while either while it's being read or right after, there's almost this like pause where everyone just physically reacts to the good news. And that is really powerful every week to me, just to sort of, just to enjoy that together in such a tangible way.
Yeah. That's really, really good. Okay. Well, next time we'll move on to the next part of the service and really the last parts of the service altogether, intercession, offertory, and maybe we can also talk about, we won't hit on the sermon as much since that's already been talked about in expository preaching, but also benediction and how we close out the service. But Hannah, thank you for coming and talking on confession and assurance. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pillar and Ground. We hope you will join us for future episodes.